Amen. You may be seated. Let's turn in the Word of God once again this morning to Ephesians 6, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6, we'll read verses 10 through 18. Our focus this morning will be particularly on verse 16. Ephesians 6, beginning at verse 10, God's Word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. God's holy word. Let's pray again together. Father, help us now, we pray, to receive this word. Empower us by your Holy Spirit. Write it upon our hearts, we pray. And in it we pray that Christ will be glorified. We ask it in His name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, of vital importance in the Roman army was, of course, the training of its young soldiers. Much time was given to training in the proper use of the different parts of the weaponry. Much time was given to training in the proper use of the shield. The Roman soldier was very skilled in the use of the shield. And so Antipas, the commander, gave careful instructions to the young soldier Crispus. You must not panic, he said, when the first hail of flaming arrows comes. You must instead stand still and firm and use your shield. By holding it firmly in place, none of them will harm you. Though the air be filled with them, none of them will harm you. Well, the shield, a most useful piece of weaponry for the ancient soldier. And we'll seek this morning to understand what the apostle means, but what he means to emphasize by use of this particular figure. We've asserted already that he gives detailed instruction because he wishes to make particular points about the truth of God. He wants to make particular application about the truth of the Word of God. Of course, broadly already he's given this exhortation, hasn't he? Put on the whole armor of God. He gives that exhortation twice. Put on the whole armor of God, by which he means, of course, we need all of the truth of Christian doctrine. We must believe, we must receive it all. We must trust in Christ alone and that weaponry of truth as we have it from Him. We cannot do without any part of the truth. That's part of the reason we gather Lord's Day by Lord's Day, isn't it? There's that recognition. I need this truth. I desperately need the truth of the Word of God. I need to put it on. I need it written upon my heart. Because, yes, the Christian life is a life of conflict. It isn't just about me and those around me, is it? It's about me and, oh yeah, principalities and powers. We often forget that, don't we? Maybe you thought about that when you got up this morning. I'm spiritually opposed! We need to think about it. We are spiritually opposed. And yes, so yes, we need the whole armor of God, don't we? So our hearts are crying out to the Lord this morning. This is where we want to be. Our hearts are crying out to the Lord. I need this truth. I need Christ. Is your heart crying out that way this morning? I need Christ. I need everything that's provided in Him. I need His life. I need to trust in Christ alone. Is that where you are this morning? That's where you need to be. I need Him. Nothing less will do. I need Christ. I need His grace. And so the Apostle Paul brings this instruction with a particular purpose to emphasize the absolute necessity of trusting in God's every declaration as true. That's the particular thrust. It's a particular thrust this morning with respect to the shield. A simple and robust trust in God's every declaration as true. Our Lord Jesus Christ often expressed amazement at the lack of seriousness into which the Word of God was looked, that it wasn't looked into sincerely enough, with a sufficient robust trust in its every declaration as true. So various places, of course, we read Him saying, don't we? Have you never read? Do you not know? Well, of course they'd read. But it was as if they'd never read. So that's the challenge, isn't it? Oh, that I might have this simple and robust trust in God's every declaration as true. That will change your whole life. It centers in Christ, trusting in Christ alone, and in His every declaration is true. Well, the shield of faith, in this particular part of the armor, it's unique in terms of the way the apostle speaks about it because we're told what attack of the enemy it was particularly useful for. It's unique in that respect in terms of the weaponry He gives. In other words, you have this emphasis there on the nature of the attack. We'll think about that briefly. I want to think about our terms here. What was meant originally by flaming missiles or flaming arrows? Well, these were, of course, in combat, these were arrows with tips dipped in flammable substance. And they were used not only to inflict wounds, but to cause fear and alarm. Common strategy was to, or common preliminary tactic in battle was to send a barrage of such arrows, and that caused, or the purpose was to cause confusion and alarm. Now, what about the shield? Now, the shield we think that the apostle has in view was a large shield, approximately 2.5 feet by 4 feet, with which one could protect his whole body. The usefulness, therefore, was not particularly useful for hand-to-hand combat. But it was very useful, wonderful piece of armor to protect against this barrage of arrows. Remember what Antipas said to Crispus. If you hold your shield firmly in place, none of them will harm you. Though the air be filled with them, none of them will harm you. So a large shield, which protected the whole body. Now, as we've already implied, it's very important to ponder what kind of attack, then, of the enemy is in view. The apostle writes, or he speaks of, the fiery darts of the wicked one. So these are sent by the evil one, the wicked one, Satan or his host. They come suddenly, often in a barrage, and the purpose is to alarm, particularly to alarm or to confuse, to paralyze one with fear and confusion. Did you ever have that happen to you? The fiery darts of the wicked one. Well, what's in view here? Well, thoughts and imaginations, we think. Thoughts and imaginations. False guilt. Sudden fears. And those indeed may come as a barrage. Maybe you had that experience this morning. Barrage of thoughts that seem to come out of nowhere. So yes, now the thought that comes suddenly, seemingly out of nowhere, commonly accusing or condemning, it may be vile, filthy, utterly base, blasphemous, combination of all three, or simply oppressive in nature. Again, sudden paralyzing fear. Think of imaginations. Pictures in the mind may be stimulated, thus stirring up sins and desires and lusts. Again, where's the confusion or the alarm often come from? It comes from the conclusion that such thoughts or imaginations originate wholly within me. And not to say, as often as that, not to say I don't have a confederate in my own bosom with respect to the problem of evil, I do. But the enemy wants me to come to the conclusion that this arises wholly within me. So again, that thought that's utterly base, filthy, even blasphemous. Or that imagination, that image in the mind which is vile or utterly corrupt. Think about false guilt, condemnation. This is a common ploy of the enemy. False guilt and condemnation. Accusations. False guilt for something I've not done. That'd be false guilt, something I've not done. Or how about, here's false guilt, this is actually false guilt too, for sin that's already been forgiven. It's already been forgiven, it's forgiven. But the enemy brings it to you again and again, doesn't he? He says, in effect, what kind of Christian are you, if you're a Christian at all? What kind of Christian? How could you think such a thing? How could you be a believer? You know, you shouldn't even go to worship. You're such a mess, you shouldn't even go to worship. Well, we're all a mess. None of us in ourselves deserves to be in worship, not for a second. But false guilt, condemnation. Well, what about the paralyzing irrational fears? And of course, most all fears are irrational. But the fear that suddenly comes, we said this can be very oppressive, it suddenly comes. Paralyzing. Irrational. Think of the flaming arrows. And the enemy, oh, he loves to fill the air with them. But think again about what Antipas said. If you hold your shield firmly in place, none of them will touch you. Isn't this great? We think about this, of course, with respect to the whole armor, huh? It's perfect armor, isn't it? It's perfect armor because it's of Christ. It's of His life. And so we think of that attack of the enemy. Flaming arrows. Maybe the air around you this morning was filled with them. And so we think on the shield of faith. Apostle writes, above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Because what's meant here is the shield which is faith. The shield which is faith. So what's in view is faith in its subjective, we could say its subjective active sense. It's the faith we're called to exercise. He says, taking the shield of faith. You've got to exercise your faith. Yet, very important here, we could often get confused about faith. We need to think about the nature of faith. Faith's object, its warrant, is the Word of God. So we're called to fight, and we can say, well, how are we called to fight? Well, by taking up the shield, which is faith, which is to say, by trusting implicitly, by trusting only, in what God has declared to be true. So faith is as a shield because of its object. Faith is as a shield because of its object, because of its focus. We say its focus, its object is God Himself, His strength, His faithfulness, His life. So again, we say we can often get confused about this matter of faith, and we've got to see it properly, don't we? As we often say, it's not faith in my faith, brothers and sisters. It's faith in Christ. It's faith in the faithfulness of God. And that's what, if we could say, that's what makes faith what it is. So faith isn't anything of itself. Faith isn't this robust thing of itself. Faith has all of its strength and all of its usefulness with respect to its object. Of course, you may think about this with respect to salvation, right? I must trust in Christ alone. True faith looks entirely to Christ. True faith looks away from itself. So again, you know, in Christian life, it's not people of a great faith, right? It's people of faith in a great God. Yeah? People of faith in a great God. I look away from myself. I look away from my works. I look away from my faithfulness, however I might conceive that, however I might think of that. I look away from my faithfulness, and I look to Christ alone. And we learn that more and more every day, don't we? I mean, this is the nature of the Christian life. So faith has its resilience, or faith has its usefulness. Faith is as a shield because of its object. God Himself. God's strength. God's faithfulness. God's Word. So faith is occupied with God and with truth. It feeds upon what He said. Again, think of the supreme example of our Lord Jesus Christ, who all of his life thought in terms of the truth of God's Word. He trusted it. His was a perfect, simple, robust trust in God's every declaration as true. So exercising faith, it constitutes a wonderful shield, doesn't it? But if I don't know what's true, faith won't find its proper object, will it? I need to know what's true. I need to know the truth of the Word of God, and so we come back again to that, you know, that broader lesson, don't we? I need all of the truth of the Word of God. I dare not say with respect to any part of the truth, any part of the Word of God, well, you know, I don't really need that. I dare not say, sometimes we hear it said to us, you people are into doctrine, Can't we just all be into Jesus? You're into doctrine, I'm really into Jesus. Well, if you're not into doctrine, you're not into Jesus. Think again of our Lord's command, John 14. He that has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Why love God? What's that mean? See, love has definition, doesn't it? Love is defined by the Word of God. So we need this Word. Well, perhaps you've been subjected to a barrage of flaming missiles this past week. Maybe this morning. Barrage, an attack, thoughts, and whoa, Well, it's very important, at the very least, it's very, very important for us to see that such assaults are not unusual to the Christian life. This is a normal part of the Christian life. You've got a big target on you. Yes, the enemy knows who you are. He's got your number. And he's, and as we've observed before, he's studying you for a long time. He's a crack psychologist. He knows your weakness, and he will seek to exploit your weakness. So we dare not be without the Word of God. We dare not be naive about the nature of the Christian life. We dare not be naive about the nature of indwelling sin, right? So we say, well, it's very helpful. It's even encouraging to know this. This is not an uncommon attack of the enemy. That's the enemy. What's he trying to say to me? Well, any number of things. What kind of Christian are you? Give it up. You ever say that to you? Give it up. Hey, wasn't life easier while you were just sort of drifting along in sin? Wasn't that easier? Wasn't life easier? Wasn't life more wonderful when I lived in Egypt? I was cared for. I had all kinds of pleasures there, you know. Wasn't life, he says things like this all the time. But particularly the attacks. You're not a Christian. So we say such assaults are not unusual. And we must know what is true if we're to exercise faith. So the enemy says, you're a sinner! Through and through! I need to know the truth here. What do I say? You're right! But I'm redeemed! Oh, you're still under the dominion of sin. Various attacks he brings, huh? You're just as much a slave of sin as you ever were. How do you beat that back? Oh, no. I'm a new creature in Christ. I was going to read this during our Lord's Supper again, but listen to this again. It's just a great example of standing amidst attack. We've noted before when Satan charged Luther with a long list of crimes. Remember this? Satan charged Luther with a long list of crimes. He replied, this is all true. But write another line at the bottom. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Period. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. A moment ago, I spoke of false guilt. It's interesting to think about forgiven sin as a category of false guilt. Actually, it is. If I've confessed my sin, it is forgiven. So when the enemy, as the accuser, raises it, there's that sense in which it's a false accusation. Of course, we can think of it from the other side, just as Luther's quote shows, can't we? This is all true, he says. But write another line at the very bottom of the list. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And then again, Satan's accusation is recounted by John Bunyan in A Jerusalem Sinner Saved. Here's the accusation. You sinner, you're beyond reach. And do you think to find mercy now? Are you not a murderer, a thief, a harlot, a witch, a sinner of the greatest size? What's the answer? I am Magdalene. I am Zacchaeus. I am the thief. I am the harlot. I am the publican. I am the prodigal. And one of Christ's murderers. Yes, worse than any of these. And yet God was so far off from rejecting me, as I found afterwards, that there was music and dancing in His house through me, and this for joy, that I was come home to Him. That's the truth of the Word of God. The nature of God's love. The nature of His grace, isn't it? I need to know these things. I need to be steeped in these things. As we often say, I need to hear the gospel every Lord's Day. I need to hear the gospel every Lord's Day. Because the enemy's always coming at me with all kinds of accusations. You're a murderer, you're a thief, you're perverse, you're a sinner. Yes, 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 yes. And worse than you say. But I have Christ. I'm trusting in Christ alone. Our point. Brothers and sisters, I must know what is true if I'm to exercise faith. Because faith's object is the Word of God. The warrant of faith is the Word of God. Faith has nowhere to go. It has nowhere to focus if it doesn't know the truth. If I don't know the truth, it has nowhere to go. It focuses on Christ. It focuses on His truth. So this morning, we're especially called to exercise an active trust in God's Word. We say again, in order to stand amidst the conflict of the Christian life, I must learn to trust in God's every declaration as true. So we pray that way. We learn to pray that way as we come to the Word. Lord, help me in coming to this Word to come to it for what it really is. This is the Word of God. There's nothing like it in all the world. And it constantly, or men constantly attack it in a variety of ways. It's attacked, sadly, it's attacked in the church in a variety of ways. A simple and a robust trust in God's every declaration as true. So when the barrage of flaming arrows comes, and it does, and it will, think of your Lord Jesus Christ. Think of Him saying this to you. You must not panic when the flaming arrows come. You must instead stand firm and still and trust only in My Word. If you trust only in My Word, none of those arrows will harm you. Though the air be filled with them, none of them will harm you. So we sing in the hymn, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed. I am your God. I will still give you aid. I'll strengthen you, help you, cause you to stand, upheld by My righteous, omnipotent hand. The soul that on Jesus has leaned for repose, I will not give over to his foes." That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. We would trust in Christ. We would trust in Christ alone. We say again, brothers and sisters, we say again to everyone here, that's where you need to be this morning. You look away from yourself. You trust in Christ alone. I look away from myself. I look away from my own wisdom, my own strength and merit. And I learn to find everything in Christ by the inward aspiration of faith. That's what I'm called to as a Christian. Let's pray. Father, help us, we pray, in these things. We confess, Lord, how quick we are just to trust in our own understanding, to live in the strength that we've always lived in, get through life the way we're used to getting through life, go into the old rut of our native sin and live there. Lord, give us understanding, we pray. We might see, that we might turn from our sin, that we might trust in Christ alone. We ask it in His name. Amen.